Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hello, hello, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. You did it. You made it. You are here. Congratulations. Give yourself a hug and a pat on the back. I'm so proud of you for showing up and taking time for yourself. Today, we're going to talk about work ethic. This is number 190. I've recorded an awful lot of podcasts. And the last one, 189, was kind of a bummer, kind of a downer. And it was the idea that what if it doesn't all work out? And after I recorded it, I kind of chastised myself for being a bummer. I'm a super positive person. I really am. Pollyanna has got nothing on me. But also, I'm a realist, and I know that sometimes even the best laid plans don't work out. And I want you to be able to feel all those feels and act on the fact that you will be okay. There was a previous episode not that long ago, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, of it will be okay. And it's that idea, it's that mindset that if things suck right now, if things didn't work out, if your Jenga tower toppled, own it, feel it, comfort yourself, hug on yourself, and then know it will be okay and that you have enough strength inside to take the next step forward. So today we're going to talk about work ethic, which is funny because another current episode that I recorded not that long ago, and it's still kind of bouncing around in my brain, is the idea of doing things badly and not succumbing to hustle culture or your kind of inner drive for perfectionism, where you feel like you shouldn't bother trying or you shouldn't bother doing something if you're going to not excel. And so I wanted to love on you and hug on you and tell you, no, you can still try. You can still attempt hard things. And if you do it badly, that's okay. So growing up, I heard the phrase, it's good enough for government work, pretty often. And it was the idea that good enough is good enough. It doesn't need to be perfect. And then that's tricky because then that next episode I did about, well, what happens if it doesn't work out? What if you did give it your all and you got an A++ and you still didn't get into the college of your dreams? Or if you did everything at work and then someone else got that promotion and you'll never know why. It could be nepotism. It could be that that person gave so-and-so basketball tickets. You just really don't know sometimes why things unfold the way that they do. And again, it sucks. It's not fair. And it feels horrible, horrible in your brain and your body. Rejection, dismay, discouragement, failure. These are all human feelings. And I don't want you to dismiss them. So you can be a Pollyanna without dismissing, without going, la, 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 it's fine, and slapping on a fake smile. No, faking it doesn't make it. It's phony baloney in your brain and your body. So acknowledge when things don't go according to plan, mourn, grieve, and then move on. And the more you do it, the more life wisdom you have, the more these obstacles in the road are just bumps, just pebbles, and not great big huge boulders. So today we're going to talk about work ethic. And I recently surveyed my podcast community. And while I record things that I'm interested in and what my current coaching clients are grappling with, and I try and weave in metaphors and OMG, talk about splitting metaphors. I'm constantly starting one metaphor and then ending with another, because that's just kind of how my brain works. I bounce around a lot. But I happen to be 48. I happen to live in a suburban area of San Francisco Bay Area. I am a mom of three, and not all of you are exactly like me. And so that's what's fun about surveying my audience and learning that I have people from all ages and stages of life listening. And so I want to talk to all of you today. And even if you're 60s and retired and you think, well, I don't need work ethic anymore. No, we're going to touch upon that a little bit today. But if you're in your 20s, and I had no idea that there are so many of you out there in your 20s and your 30s, and it's because you want to decide on purpose to live a calm, steady, sustainable life, and you don't want to succumb to hustle culture and burnout and overwhelm, you're not in the wrong place. I will nurture you and I will guide you. And this episode is definitely about you. I want you to learn to live and learn to design your life in a way that feels so good in your body, that you're excited to jump out of bed in the morning and take on the day. Slow living is not about lazing around. It's not about doing anything. And slow living and having work ethic is not an oxymoron. They're absolutely the same. So kind of put your hands together and hug them tight and nestle them together, because we're going to talk today about how to have amazing, solid work ethic that will pay off in dividends down the line while still living a calm, steady, sustainable life. Okay, so what is work ethic? To me, work ethic is doing the right thing, even if no one is watching and no one is looking. You know deep down inside if you're half-assing or if you're giving it your all. And depending on the situation, you can decide what is warranted. So in writing, one of the grammar tips and tricks and writing for style tricks is, once you know the rules, then you can decide to break them. And it becomes a stylistic choice. If you want to write in short, choppy paragraphs, a la Stephanie, you can, because I know how to write and I know what great prose is, but I also know that writing short, choppy, punchy sentences will grab a reader. And so I decide on purpose to do that. So work ethic at work. If you've been at your job for a while and you know how to do things really well, sometimes you can half-ass it. Sometimes you can do the bare minimum. I recorded a podcast called The Bare Minimum. I'm not sure the number. Scroll back and find it. But you'll know. And that doesn't mean you don't have good work ethic. But what it does mean is you've paid into the system. You've done your duty long enough that you know how to do things. So then later you can find the shortcuts. What I don't want you to do is go into work, especially if you're young and just starting out. Don't half-ass things as you get started. That comes later. That comes with time, and that comes with wisdom, and that comes with paying your dues. But in the beginning, you will sometimes probably have to work a little bit harder in order to then ease up on the gas. And it doesn't mean perfectionism. It doesn't mean that you can't make mistakes. You can, but you have to own them, acknowledge them, and ask for forgiveness and then maybe help and guidance from a mentor or someone who's been there longer than you. I want you to take pride in your effort, and also pay attention to the optics. So it's interesting. My oldest is doing a summer internship. So she moved out of the house and she's doing a summer internship. And she was talking about the other interns, and she was noticing that when they weren't actively working, they were looking at their phone. And she says, well, I kept my phone in my work bag because you and dad said that it doesn't look good to others to be on your phone. And she's absolutely correct. If you're supposed to be working, work. Don't social media it up. Don't scroll on your phone. And sometimes you're answering something, maybe a text from a coworker or something on your phone and you have no choice. That's different. If you're in the break room, if you're outside and it's definitely your time, goof around on your phone all you want. But if you're in an office environment or a work environment, and every time a coworker or supervisor walks by and you happen to be looking at your phone, that's not great optics. Play the part, step into the role you want to be and nurture and support future you where maybe at one point you want a raise, or maybe at one point you want a promotion or a little bit more responsibility, or even you just want in passing supervisors and managers to talk to themselves and say, oh, so-and-so, yeah, they're crushing it. They are rocking it. They've got great work ethic. That's what you want. What you don't want is, yeah, so-and-so does the part and shows up, but I tell you, every time I walk by him, they seem like they're slacking off. They seem like they're on their phone. That kind of stuff, people pay attention to. I don't want that you to fall victim to thinking that, who cares? I did my part. Now it's my time and I'm going to goof off on my phone. You can, but there's a time and a place. And so just be aware of those optics. The myth of either or. So slow living is not zero sum theory. So I recorded a podcast on that. It's not all or nothing. There's sort of this mindset that you either work hard or you're lazy. You grind or you're not serious. There's definitely a middle ground to be found. Slow living rejects this mindset. You can have a strong work ethic without subscribing to hustle culture. I want you to work deep, but in a way where you pay attention to your time management and you honor your body and you take breaks and you remember to go to the bathroom and drink water. There's a silly meme that says that people are just complicated plants. They need water, food, and sunshine. And absolutely, that is the case. And I also want you to pay attention when it comes to work ethic, that you're not thinking that you have to constantly achieve and perform at like a higher level each day. No. So doing the right thing, even when nobody's watching, means that you're doing your work, you're meeting your deadlines, and you're being helpful. And sometimes when you are that way, you end up having to pick up the slack for other people. And that at times doesn't feel good. And sometimes, and I know this because people end up on coaching calls with me, they feel like a martyr. And they're like, well, I have to do it because no, if I don't do it, nobody else will. Okay. So maybe, but also maybe protect your boundaries. And you don't have to do other people's work. You do your job, but protect yourself and don't become a martyr. But also taking some pride. If you notice something, if you notice while you're walking around your work campus that there's this random Snickers wrapper near the garbage can because it either blew out or someone missed the garbage can and it crosses your path, pick it up, throw it away. People are watching, and especially, oh my goodness, if you have little kids watching, they notice. They're like, oh, mom always stoops to pick up the wrapper. What a nice idea. And that sort of follow through is very good work ethic. Okay. Front loading. If you are pursuing the FIRE method, which is financial independence, retire early, you do need to front load at times. And this is very helpful in your 20s and 30s and early 40s when you still have a lot more energy than you might later in life, especially if you're listening to me in your early 20s and 30s. Pay it forward. Pay future 50-year-old, 60-year-old now. And it doesn't mean avoiding effort. Slow living isn't about avoiding effort, but it means making your effort count. So deciding on purpose, maybe you want a deli sandwich, but you realize it's $15. And wow, money doesn't go as far as it used to. And so instead, you are brown bagging it. And you realize that you worked hard and you quote unquote deserve a deli sandwich, but you also can delay your gratification and you can eat your sad peanut butter sandwich that you pack for work and save that $15. And if you're really a motivated person, you can actually decide on purpose to transfer $15 from your checking account that you had into some sort of savings account. If you've got, then from your savings, if you have long-term investment strategies, you can transfer it. Do it. Pay yourself in that way, because it's sort of like, I don't know, I get the same sort of dopamine hit that I get when you hear the bells and the whistles in Vegas and you hear those slot machines. I get those same sort of dopamine hits by saving $15 and eating my lunch versus going out with a coworker for a deli sandwich. So figure out what works for you. So perfectionism and hustle culture lie. And they lie because they tell you that you're worthy when you're grinding, that you're worthy when you're improving by 1% every day. And they make it seem like hard work equals worthiness. There's this online thing called 75 Day Hard. And I've gotten two past long-term coaching clients who have hurt themselves by doing this 75 Day Hard. And it's very bro marketing and it's very like testosterone fueled. If you're not grinding, you're failing. And no, you can have work ethic and not work until your eyeballs bleed or whatever horrible saying it is. And you can still front load and you can still save for retirement. You can still follow the whole FIRE philosophy without succumbing to complete and total overwhelm, burnout, and just a debilitating mindset of this all or nothing. When you know your why, so slow living is about knowing your why, and it is about deciding your purpose and living with intention. And if you need help with that, it's completely and totally all laid out in the Slow Living book. The tagline is cultivating a life of purpose in a hustle-driven world. And I walk you through how to really purposefully design this kind of Jenga block tower in a peace pyramid way. So it's super solid. So if someone takes out one of your Jenga blocks, you're not going to topple because you're so solid. You're so just structured. You know what it is. Okay. I also want you to trust that the universe will meet you halfway. So there's an episode on manifestation and the universe. And there's an episode I know early on how woo are you. So depending on your belief practice, I want you to trust that God, I want you to trust that the universe will meet you halfway. You do your part and then have faith that someone else, some other being, some deity, some universe will pick up the slack and meet you halfway. But you do know deep down inside if you're doing the right thing and if you're giving it your all. And your all can be 100%. Doesn't mean to be 150. And sometimes your all is 80%. If you are feeling worn out and run down and you're not at 100% and you're at 80% and you give that 80%, that's 100%. That's math. So absolutely do these things. So I want to talk a little bit on how this relates to the peace pyramid, depending on your age and stage in life. So if you're in your 20s, I want you to decide that you don't need to have it all figured out. And your 20s is about building your foundation and exploring and enjoying. So with time management, this might be look, it might look like learning how to time block or use a calendar. It might mean start practicing boundaries and learning that you don't have to say yes to everything. With health, I want you to build consistent sleep, hydration, and movement habits now. I want you to learn what foods energize you versus deplete you. With your finances, start contributing to retirement, even small amounts. The Slow Living book walks you through the finance portion of the peace pyramid, and I'm quoting lots of experts and give ideas and different resources to pay attention to. In your 20s, I want you to also put blinders on and help avoid lifestyle creep and live frugally, live beneath your means whenever possible. Organization, develop systems now for keeping your digital and physical spaces clear. And I want you to also get comfortable with planning ahead. Plan ahead with your meals, your bills, and your work tasks. That goes also back to time management with time blocking. Relationships, cultivate friendships with depth, depth over quantity. Who cares how many friends you have if you don't have someone who will listen deeply and honor you? I want you to learn communication basics, when to be assertive, and when to actively listen. And then with peace, now start noticing what brings you calm and begin to declutter all that doesn't. I want you to experiment with journaling, mindfulness, and time in nature. The journaling worksheet, I say it every time, stephanieoday.com/daily, D-A-I-L-Y. Okay, if you are in your 30s, this is the time for you to build and strengthen that foundation that you started in your 20s. So time management in your 30s looks like prioritizing work that aligns with your values, not just your resume. I want you to learn to delegate and outsource. For health, I want you to start prioritizing preventive care, doctor, dentist, mental health. If you do not see a dentist twice a year and a doctor once a year, now is the time. Schedule it in. You have no choice. This is what grownups do. This is what adults do. For mental health, if you are not recovered from your childhood and you can't move forward, now's the time to seek out therapy. Health, again, and then schedule recovery time, especially if you're parenting or caregiving. We talk about recovery time when it is your body. If you had a hard day at the gym, you need to recover. If you have a hard day parenting, if you have a hard day working, schedule in recovery time. Finances, 30s, now's the time to really automate your savings and retirement and debt payoff. And then also really pay attention to investing intentionally. Invest in future retirement. Maybe invest in a home. Maybe invest in a business. Maybe invest in a further degree. Organization. Create rhythms for your house. Laundry days. A digital detox day. An appointment day. Organization again. Use checklists, systems that help reduce your mental load. And my hope is that you have a system already in place that serves your needs. Relationships. Spend time in your closest relationships intentionally. Don't do things out of obligation. I want you to really know who's in your corner and then tend to them, feed, nurture, water, fertilize those relationships and bonds. Peace. Practice saying no. No is a complete sentence. Don't do things that don't align to your future needs. And begin protecting your energy like a precious resource. There's a past podcast episode that I did where I talk about how you're the nucleus and want you to protect yourself. You are the center of the universe, your universe. If you are listening to this and you are in your 40s, now is the time to refine and recommit. Time management, audit. Audit your commitment, what drains you and what fills you. Build buffers into your schedule for thinking and transition time. Health, address any long ignored health issues now. Shift towards nourishment and mobility instead of focusing on vanity and appearance goals. Finances, revisit your FIRE number and your retirement goals and adjust as needed. And start thinking legacy. Where do you want your money and your energy to go? Organization, streamline your routines, less clutter, more margin. And teach kids or younger coworkers what systems work for you and begin to mentor that next generation. Okay, relationships. Invest in fewer and deeper connections. I got to tell you, I purged a bunch of friends in this time of life when I realized, okay, that I need to move into the next chapter and then allow room for growth, both yours and their growth. Not all friends stay with you as you age and stage, and you really find out who's in your corner when you're in your 40s. Peace, prioritize stillness and protect your mornings or evenings just for you. And reconnect to hobbies and spiritual practices you've shelved. And I really want to circle star that. Reconnect to hobbies. Reconnect to spiritual practices. Okay, 50s. This is the time for wisdom and really simplifying. For time management, make time for what really matters and then trim the rest. Avoid back-to-back obligations and savor time with friends, family, and activities that fill you up. Health, embrace movement that feels good in your body. Monitor stress and sleep closely. These become so essential. Finances, now's the time to maximize and catch up retirement contributions. Downsize expenses and possessions. Maybe start purging and follow that PROM method, purge, remove, organize, maintain. And if you have things that are collecting dust that can make you money, do it. I had a lovely coaching client who decided to clean her garage and attic. Actually, it wasn't even a garage. It was a basement because she lives on the East Coast. And so it was a full-on basement. And she made enough money to go on a cruise. So think about that. Organization, again, declutter. Relationships, and reinvest in your partnerships, in your marriage, in your family, or chosen community. And make peace with lingering resentments or old patterns. And then for peace, embrace these slow mornings, slow meals, and slow conversations. Let go of any past hustle-based identity and lean into grace. If you are in your 60s and beyond, now's the time. You are building a legacy. So time management, schedule whatever brings you joy, connection, nature, rest. Give generously of your time, but only if it's a yes. You're going to follow the pull, not the push. Health, focus on vitality, flexibility, mobility, digestion, and joy. And keep your curiosity alive because it is part of your wellness. Finance, this is it. You're living off of your wisdom and your planning. So trust your earlier work. Consider giving, charity, mentoring, gifting, and your time as part of your work ethic now. Sorry, I'm flipping over my page. I want you to simplify everything when it comes to organization and prepare your digital and paper legacy, photos, journals, scrapbooks, relationships. Focus on your presence over performance. Pass down stories, traditions, and encouragement. Peace. Live in the now. The work has been done. Trust that your work ethic echoes far, far beyond whatever happens to be on your to-do list. Okay. So that was a lot, but it was beneficial. Let me know your thoughts. Reach out to me. I'm a real person. I will write you back. Steph@stephanieoday.com. Someone wrote to me yesterday. It was a crockpot question, but it was a silly crockpot question that I could answer without even thinking. And she wrote back, "Wow, you really do answer your emails." I do. I'm happy to serve. That's part of my legacy. And I embody all things slow, just to simply look only within. And I know on a day-to-day basis, I am honoring deep down inside what fills me up. And I hope you do the same. And I still have great work ethic. So remember, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to overwork, but you do have to care. And that's what work ethic is. It's working with care, purpose, and alignment. Slow living isn't lazy living. It's ethical, intentional living. Okay, pretty people. As always, I think you're amazing and wonderful and lovely. I'm so proud of you. Have a great day. And I'll see you again next time. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.